Amen. How very true. How very true. I love stories because they help me to remember things, and somehow I'm either have the wrong side of the brain, right brain or left brain, whichever it is, that I don't put things together with facts and figures not nearly so well as I do with stories and things that happen to us. I heard about a young fellow who bought an old clunker, and he wanted to get that thing home. It wasn't in too good a shape, but he thought that he could get it running and get the thing cranked up. The person he bought it from lived way up on a hill on this side of a short valley, and down in the valley up the other side of the hill was his home up on the top of that hill. But he thought if he could get that thing running fast enough going down the hill and didn't stop at the base of the hill, he could get it to the back safely home. He got it running. It was on his way down the hill. And when he saw to his dismay that there was, of course, a street that ran intersecting that road he was on, and there were two cars coming, he thought, oh my goodness, if I slow down, I'll never get this thing to the top of the hill. So being young as he was, he calculated the distance between the two cars very close, but he thought, you know, if I just timed this exactly right, the first car can go through the intersection, I can go right behind him between the two cars, and I'll make it home. And so he did that very thing, only he miscalculated one thing. He didn't realize that the two cars were in tow. One of them was being towed by a cable. And when he got out of the hospital and finished paying for all the damage in those cars and his own hospital bill, he had learned a vital, valuable lesson in life that I hope that each one of us will remember. And that is, it's hard to separate things that are bound together. It's hard to separate things that are bound together. And this is true in the spiritual realm just as much as it is true in the physical, material realm. For instance, here are two things that are bound together: a clean, uncluttered heart and a meaningful Christian life are bound together. You cannot separate the two of them. You say, I want a purposeful, meaningful Christian life, but my heart is cluttered with I've got a lot of things going on, and there's some things I need to take care of first, but I want that meaningful Christian life. Now, you cannot have both of those things. They are bound together. A number of folks have said to me, Pastor, we would like to have a Holy Spirit-led revival in Big Spring Church. We would love to have a revival. And a few folks have told me, we're praying for a revival of God's Spirit to take place, break out in Big Spring Baptist Church. Now, revival is a wonderful thing. Stephen Olford, who's a great revivalist, evangelist, he had a definition of revival that I think you would agree with. He said revival is that strange and sovereign work of God in which He visits His own people, reanimating, restoring, and releasing them into the fullness of God. Doesn't that just reach out there and get your attention? Releasing us into the fullness of God's power and blessing. I hope everyone begins to pray for revival to break out in the Big Spring Baptist Church congregation. Revival is God cleansing His church. Revival is God releasing His presence and His power. Revival is God removing the clutter in our lives and cleansing us. It's pouring out His blessing upon us. God's purpose is not to make us happy. It's to make us holy, so that His presence and power and blessing will be poured out upon us. And then, as the gospel writer John said, your joy will be full. Your joy will be full. Here's a key thought for us to consider this morning. The Bible draws a distinction between a cleansed heart and an uncluttered heart. It's found here in Scripture. We're going to look at some of these scriptures that where you see this over and over. Both of them are necessary for a revived heart. Nowadays, there are more pastors than you can count and more people than you could imagine who are looking for churches and looking for a place where they can call a place of worship. But I say to you that what those pastors are looking for and what those people are looking for is a revived heart. How can you have that? How can we have that? It requires a cleansed, uncluttered heart. There was a man in the Bible in the New Testament in the days of Jesus whose name was John. They called him the baptizer. Now, John had an awful pulpit to preach from. It was just rocks in the wilderness. He wasn't paid very well because he had to eat mostly locusts or grasshoppers and honey. And yet when Jesus heard of John's preaching and knew of him, he had this description or this word to say about John the Baptist. Jesus said, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." You see, John had a cleansed heart. He had an uncluttered heart. And the power of God was upon his life. And that brings up the question that we have to ask and answer for ourselves. Do you have that kind of heart today? Is your heart free? Is it uncluttered of sin? Are you willing to listen for the instruction God has for a cleansed and uncluttered heart that makes us a part of his blessing? There's only one way to cleanse a heart of sin, of those things that offend a holy God. In the scriptures, you'll find a letter in the back of your Bible. It's called the first letter of John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, in which it describes this experience of cleansing in our lives. It says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." Forgiveness and cleansing from all sin comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's where the cleansing comes from. Maybe you've encountered this problem. You've had this problem before. Have you ever found yourself saying over and over to the Lord, asking over and over, "God, forgive me for this thing, this wrong thing that has happened in my life"? Again and again, you keep coming back and praying that same prayer over the same situation, the same circumstances in your life. Why is that? We have forgiveness, but yet there's not cleansing. Why is there no cleansing? Each time we've done those despised things and prayed for that forgiveness, and we know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins, and yet we keep coming back. Why? Because we have not repented of those things. We've not removed the clutter. It's like those pesky dandelions that keep popping up in our nice lawns. I'm sure you've discovered already that if you just cut the top off of the dandelion, it's going to come right back up. You've got to get down where the roots are, dig that thing out if you're going to get rid of the weeds in your lawn. And the same is true about the clutter, the offenses, the sin, the things that are contrary to God's nature and spirit in our lives. They have to be removed. They have to be removed. Now, how do you do that? Two things are required. First of all, you must ask God to show you the cause of those things. How did they originate? Where did they come from? Ask God to show you why you turn to that kind of action or deed in your life. Where did that begin? Where was the beginning of it? Years ago, someone made a curious observation or explanation to me of a habit, a bad habit that some folks have of the use of certain things in their lives that are harmful to our health and harmful to our pocketbook sometimes. And the observation was this: if you can go to actually get rid of those things, you need to be able to discover, why did you start in the very first place? Why did you do that the very first time? I've had some people say, well, it was because I wanted to be like other people. That was pride. Or I just wanted to do something that my parents didn't want me to do. That's rebellion. You see, the problem is not what you're doing, it's why you did it. And the first thing we need to do is to ask God to show us why we did this to begin with. What are we dealing with? Is it our own flesh? Is it our rebellion? Is it our pride? And so we bring that to God and we ask Him, God, show me what I am doing and why I'm doing it. And then secondly, we have to make a life commitment to do whatever it is that God tells us to do to remove that from our lives and to begin afresh with Him. Once we have done that, we've made that discovery, we've confessed our own sin, then we've done our part, but the part that remains is God's part, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from that sin. When we've done our part, God must do His part. God works in us. And there are people in this room today who could tell you and share with you that there have been times in their lives when God has done that very thing. He has dug the roots of sin out of their life, and they no more have a desire to do those things. God took the want to out of them and changed their desires, and now they're a different person in Christ Jesus and ready to move on in the direction that God has in their lives. They've been set free from addictions and all forms of sin. God does that through the cleansing blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, when we are willing to deal with our own sins. A cleansed heart, though, is different. The Bible tells us it's distinct from an uncluttered heart. Let me bring you to look at that, if you would, in Paul's letter to the Roman church in chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Paul said, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Interesting word, this circumcision word. It appears all through the Bible, in Old and New Testament. Now, it actually refers to a simple process of removing unnecessary skin from the body. But taken in a spiritual sense, it's talking about the removing of unnecessary things from our heart, from our soul and mind and spirit, which belong to God. And so, as we look at Scripture here, Paul is saying here, those who truly follow Christ are those in whose lives the unnecessary things, the clutter, has been removed, and the Spirit of God has removed that from your life. Here's a key thought. It's God who removes the spiritual clutter from our lives, but He commands us that we join Him in the process. Now, maybe you have met some folks. Maybe you're in this very kind of relationship with God now yourself, in which you've devoted a great deal of your interest, your life, to doing things. Your life is wrapped up in some good deed or project. It could be auxiliary fire department, auxiliary police. It could be soccer or softball, or you name it. It's not necessarily wrong. It's not necessarily wrong for you to think about it and to be interested in those things. But when God looks at your life, He says to you, "This is unnecessary. You're spending time, you're spending effort on things that would be better spent in eternal things." Then it's time to have our hearts circumcised and that unnecessary part, that clutter, removed. Cleansing takes care of the ungodly things. God removes them. It's the circumcision of the heart that takes care of the unnecessary things. And we must do that. You say, well, how's that so? Well, let me go with you here to a scripture from Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4. There are two parts here. Jeremiah the prophet said, circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart. In other words, ask God to show you what you have allowed to come between Him and what He wants to do in your life. Determine today with God's help that you're going to remove those things. You're going to put them in their proper place. You know, if we did that, this building wouldn't hold all the people whose names are on the roll of the church. All of the folks who've put things in their proper place. Circumcising your heart, yourselves, to the Lord. We have a part in this. Now, to be truthful, it is God who circumcises the heart. And this is not a contradiction. Folks look at this and say, well, isn't that a contradiction? He's telling us on one hand, you remove the clutter in your life. And then on the other hand, he's saying God will remove the clutter. Look at the Old Testament again, to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Moreover, the Lord, Moses said, our God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, in order that you may live. So he says, here it's God who must act on our part. It's God who must remove the clutter from our lives. And yet, Jeremiah reminds us that we have a part too. You see, there's not a contradiction. It's the same process. God does the cleansing. God does the removing. But you have to be willing. It's like John 7:17, where he says that Jesus said, whoever is willing to hear my word, if our will is surrendered to his will, God removes the clutter and puts things in the right place. I heard a story about a young soldier who was getting his hair cut on base. Another soldier was cutting his hair, and he said, do you think my hair is short enough for inspection tomorrow? And the barber said, no, I don't think so. But the young soldier looked in the mirror and he says, I think it's short enough. That'll do. And so he stepped down, and the next day he went to inspection, and lo and behold, he failed inspection. You know why? Because the barber was the inspector. One of these days, the day is coming when our sins will be judged. Christ died to pay the sin debt for us. And He will forgive us if we receive Him and believe Him. He died to remove the clutter from our lives so that we could have meaningful lives, blessed lives. That was His part. Our part is to let Him, to be willing, to follow His instruction and His word. Otherwise, we may discover that the one who is cleansing us and offering to remove the clutter today is the one who will be our judge. Sometimes we have to get rid of the clutter. We have to ask ourselves questions like this. Do I love God the way He loves, wants me to love Him? How can I know if I love Him the way He wants me to love Him? And the Holy Spirit of God begins to instruct and to look into our lives, and the light of His Word and His Spirit shine upon us, and we've come to that conclusion. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that I need to get out of the closet of my life. There's some things I need to decide if they're worth keeping or they need to be thrown away or put in another place. Sometimes we hide stuff in our hearts and in our lives that offends holy God. by asking God to help us sort through our lives, we can determine what is the clutter and what is not, what needs to be removed and what needs to stay. The psalmist had a beautiful way of saying it in Psalm 139. He said, "Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there is any unclean way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And that's what we're asking God to do. That's what God is calling us to do. We want Him to search us. We want to seek Him. We want to know Him. We want to have not only a clean heart, but an uncluttered heart, so that we can have a blessed and revived heart, and God can fill us with His presence and His power. Are you ready for that to happen in your own life, personally? Are you ready for that to happen at Big Spring Baptist Church? Maybe we should rephrase that. That's not exactly what Scripture said. Are you willing for that to happen? Are you willing to make that spiritual life adjustment before God? In a few moments, we're going to pray together. I want you once more to join me in talking with God. I've discovered that many times we don't remember a lot of what has been spoken or said or we've read, but that the Holy Spirit of God has something that He has to speak to our hearts. There's a bit of clutter here or there that we need to remove. It needs to be removed. God has convicted us, and we know that, and so we have the option of giving it to Him, surrendering our will to Him, and letting God take that clutter and place it where it needs to be in our lives. Whether it's good or bad, God has a better plan. Would you join me in that prayer this morning as we pray together? Heavenly Father, I pray that You would rid our hearts and even our life together as the body of Christ in the church of those things that are unnecessary. Lord, get our lives down to marching condition, to the ability to do the things and to enjoy the things that You have in store for a redeemed and revived people. Revive us again, O Lord, we pray. All across this room, people are thinking and talking to You, Lord, and Your Holy Spirit is speaking to each one of us. What You remove from one, You will not necessarily remove from another. What You replace for one is not necessarily what You replace for another. But Lord, in my life today, I pray that You'll rid me of the clutter, spiritually and otherwise, that would keep me from a full and meaningful life filled with joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, we pause to respond to what the Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts. And I see in Christ, in Jesus, as He met the crowds, though it does not describe exactly how Jesus presented that invitation to people, I hear His words, and He said, "Come, follow Me. Come, follow Christ." And this morning, as we sing this last song together, would be a great time for you to do just what people did by the hundreds and the thousands. As we read the testimony of Scripture, people came and they believed in Christ and they followed Him, and their lives were filled with the power of God. And the world was never the same again, and neither will it be in your life. Your home will never be the same again. Your life will never be the same again. I invite you today to come and share your decision to follow Christ, to remove the clutter. Maybe you just need to come and kneel in prayer and say, "Lord, I hear You speaking. Take it away. Put it where it belongs. I give it to You." Whatever the decision, you come this morning. As we stand together, as we sing, let this be a time of invitation for you. Let's stand and sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him.
for your presence here today, for your